Okay. I'm ready.
You're talking about growing up in Kentucky there when we were young, real young, 8, 10, 12, 15, 16. My dad was barbering and as a county seat in Whitesburg of Letcher County. And we lived right in town on the part of the back street of town. There's the main street and there's a back street. We lived on it. And my grandma had this big boarding house there, and we lived right beside of her. And that's where I used to go across. I go across the river there and fish and catch a little big red eyes and fish, and it's the clearest, cleanest looking place. Then as I got about 16, about 17, I noticed the fish were gone, and then I have noticed the water was all dirty looking, and I didn't realize what was happening. I just wanted to know. I couldn't figure out what in the world happened to our river. And then in later on life, that's when they started polluting it. Now you can imagine, started polluting a river back in 35 and 40, what the kind of shape it been, if people hadn't took an interest in it. Anyway, my grandmother had this big boarding house, and she had a big dining room. She had rooms upstairs she rented, and had a bathroom on the back porch they had to come down. Only men stayed there. She kept the jewelry most of the time, and they hold jewelry there. And she had a big marble table. I guess it was 8 feet wide and about 10 feet long. And she would cook of a night or dinner, and she would set beans, potatoes, bread, just great big old good country meal. I mean, anybody would eat. In fact, everybody did eat there. And she charged a quarter a meal. And she put her money in a... When she died, my mother found it in bean jars and everywhere else. She didn't bank none. Mm-hmm. And when she used to give us kids money, she'd reach up, pull her dress up, and take a bag out of her old silk stocking she had tied up around, and give us. She kept us in theater money and spending money. So we had a pretty good childhood there.
So you were talking. She would juries that were coming in. Like trials because
of the they went to the courthouse was about to say 4 or 5 blocks from there for her place, and they would bring the jury down there and feed them, and people would come in, they'd give her a quarter and sit down there and eat all they wanted, and then she'd keep the bowls filled up.
So she would feed people that just wanted to come in and eat in addition.
Yeah, anybody could come in and sit down had a quarter. Okay. She'd feed them. They always kept the table full.
This is Jack Hall. This is Disc 3 on August the 7th, 2005.
Okay. What else about growing up there in Whitesburg?
Oh, that's about all.
Did you ever find out what was going on with the streams? I mean, was the pollution from the mines?
No. It's just filth. I mean, toilets and people dumping.
Straight piping in.
Straight and like oils and gases in it. And if I first noticed the big rocks, I had to start having old stuff clinging to them. And at the time, I didn't realize what was happening. And after the years going over, I thought about that stream and how I used to fish there. Then I realized it's polluted. It scares you. Mm-hmm. It, going through something like that, realize what's happening to your water if it's not taken care of.
Did you do a lot of hunting when you were growing up?
Yeah, we'd done a lot of hunting. My first gun was an old Mossberg lever action 14 gauge shotgun. We had a big just cross river railroad tracks for our fish. We went by all woods back up in there. We used to go up in there and thought we was hunting and looking for rabbits and squirrels and we enjoyed it. It was a big apple orchard up in there. And we always enjoyed going up in there.
Up and hunting apples?
Yeah.
Shot a few.
We stopped a few. We had a few apples in the man's orchard. Yeah, it was pretty nice. Then later on, when I bought the service station up there in Cumberland, I bird hunted all the time, loved to bird hunt. I've had a beautiful bird dog. And I had a cabin in the back of the service station I rented by renting the service station. And I rented to some people, and they wouldn't pay my bill, and I cut the electricity off and the water off. The only way I could get them out, then I kept my bird dog back there. He had a four-room house. People in town laughed and said, "Jack, give me about the dog. My dog having a cabin up there. Only bird dog ever known had a four-room house." Yeah, me and Raymond Horton used to bird hunt all the time. We love bird hunting.
When you say bird hunting, I mean you really hunt quail or doves?
Yeah, bobwhite's quail.
Yeah. I guess game was quite plentiful up there then, wasn't it?
Oh, they were very plentiful, yeah. They are. But they travel a long way now to find them, I imagine. I haven't been up in there.
Deer hunting, do much of that?
Another thing that's polluting that water now, I hear, is these strip mines. Mm-hmm. When they're hitting up sides of that mountain, they're doing the black side of the mountain. In Kentucky, you got two sides. You got the Black Mountain and the Pine Mountain side. Mm-hmm. The Pine Mountain one time was upheaved, and it broke all the coal and the minerals and everything up in it, and there's no mining on the Pine Mountain side. But the Black Mountain side was never touched. That's the reason you had all them big coal seams in there. So they go back now on the Black Mountain and they're stripping what they couldn't mine, and I hear that a lot of it's running down the creeks, filling them up, muddying them up, and ruining them. I don't know this, but I can imagine that loose dirt has to go somewhere. When they take all that vegetation off of the mountain, that mud's going to come down. Anyway, that's...
Well, I think that sort of that same thing happened earlier in the 20s when they sort of denuded all the forests.
That's true. True enough.
And that just... One other thing I wanted to ask you about the mining up there. Were you ever involved in... either in law enforcement or growing up there, where there were mine disasters, where men were trapped underground or killed? And...
Did I tell you about working in Lynch?
I don't think so. No.
I think I did. I hate to repeat all
that's
this.
All right.
I went to, I went to try the service station while I went to come back out. And then I got married. I went to Lynch to work and man, they give me a job taking supplies in, and they're taking in the coal. Coal's so low when you take the, go in with the machine, the cars, you couldn't look out of the cars, and the cars wasn't over 3 or 4 feet high, I guess. Anyway, you could stand on your hands and knees and rub the top. I was scared to death every night I went in there. But I didn't see any big mines there, but I know I never will forget it. This fellow had a little mine of his own. He was trying to mine coal for his family out of it. And we heard he was trapped, and we went up there to see if we could help. And he couldn't see nothing but his legs sticking out. It's all skinned up. It fell on him, just crushed him. No, I was pretty lucky. I got out. I was too scared to work in the mines. I faced a lot of things in my life.
I went down one time, and that was enough for me. But even later on in life, you don't recall any other, where men were trapped and they had the vigils at the mines like they have sometimes, that just occurring while you were living up there.
No, I got completely away from mines. I didn't care what they know when I was. gave it a try, and the money was good, and they're working. U.S. Steel is very good working for them. They are very conscientious of safety and everything. A lot of my buddies, one of them right there is a foreman, and then I had a fellow I worked with made a foreman. They were good to their people. An International Harvester right down below them had a big mines, and they were very good. And that's in Benham. That's where my brother is a master right now. And they tried to organize one another, and they had a lot of fighting going on in one town. But I think all that got done away with years ago.
So most of your memories of childhood and growing up in Whitesburg and that are pretty pleasant.
Yes, ain't it? I did fall out of the wagon when I was real small. They told me I cut my lip clear in two. That's one reason I wear a mustache. You see a big scar in there. Then later on, I was coming down to Whitesburg. I had a sleigh, and we had our school on a hill, and I was coming down what's schoolhouse hill on a sleigh. Well, my brother and we usually took turns about. Bob, he's just a year and a half younger than I am. And we had these little hats with goggles on them back then. And I was coming down the hill, and it was going pretty fast, and somebody double-headed me. You call this when you come down, they jump on your back and ride you down, ride with you. And down the end of this hill, well, it'll log about, I guess, 5 or 6 inches in diameter. Well, my glasses dropped down, and I hit that log. I was knocked out for a day and a half. I have a big scar running through here, And then I was laid up about a day and a half. They didn't know where I was going to live or not. And I never did question about it. I mean, and I was at a reunion here a while back, and a little girl, I'm not calling her, not a little girl, she's a lady now, much of a lady and a real nice person. She run up and hugged me and says, "You remember that day when you were in that sleigh and I jumped on your back and you hit a log?" I says, "I always thought that was my brother." She said, "No, that was me." I never knew it till I guess 50, 60 years later.
Funny how that goes.
Oh, my God. I always blame Bob for that. I got a big kick out of that. Then I got knocked out one of my big teeth, and the rest of them I knocked out service station. And there in Germany, I kept having big throat and console troubles. And one day I went over to get them, and oh, it was snowing and wet and muddy. And they set me down in a chair and clipped them out. I think they let me lay down a day or two. So I get back and wonder what in the world is happening.
Well, while you brought up Germany again, I wanted to sort of touch on your experiences where you saw the concentration camps again. We talked about that a little bit off tape yesterday, and I just wonder if we could sort of revisit that.
It's just a horrible situation. I mean, I don't care how much you tell about it, you'll never know until you experience it. It's just unbelievable that one human can do this to another human being. Those people, like I say, were just stacked up, and they were just trying to push them in. The Nazis were trying to cover, they were trying to cover all this stuff up before we got in there. Even the people, I guess they call them kapos, they had Jews working for them. And I don't know, maybe they throw them a bone or something. Some of them had clothes on, striped shirts on it. They took the rifle butts and one of them had their head mashed in with his hat in. And they just tried to kill everybody. I guess they was trying to keep the rifle fire down from the people in town. I don't know. But I don't know. It's just a horrible situation. It looked like some of their hands were still moving. And, of course, there's muscle actions, I guess. And I don't know. I went to another concentration camp. So it was after they liberated there. So little furnaces and the gas chambers. It's just unreal. I mean, there's no way to explain it.
Sort of had some strong words for some of those revisionist historians these days that are saying that the Holocaust really didn't exist.
Oh, no, you people don't ever let them say that. A man stands up in your face, you call him a liar and a damn liar because it happened. And I'm just thinking, I was one of the youngest men, I guess, went into Normandy, although, in our outfit, although there was, I guess, a million my age probably died on that beach going in and went in. I know there's a bunch of 18-year-olds. So us 18-year-olds, most of us are 80 years old now. And the fellas I was with was my outfit I was with, every one of them was 10 years older than me. So I'm sure they're all dead. Now, I was just thinking the other night, and I'm 80, and our lives, all the veterans are dying around 84, 85, 83. 85 would be a long life for any of us. But 90, and when a man gets 90, there won't be none of us left to die anymore. Yeah. And they're trying to teach now and preach that it didn't happen. Well, buddy, it did happen, and don't never let nobody tell you it didn't. So keep that and play it to them.
Okay.
Tell them I said they're a liar and a damn liar.
Well, you didn't come in. What you recall? What day? I mean, did you go in on the first day, the second day?
No, I joined when it was June the 7th.
That'd have been the second. June the 6th was the actual.
6th? No, that's when the infantry and the boat saw the infantry and the, I don't know what you call those boats.
The landing craft.
Tanks or whatever went in there. Mm. No, man, them boys all, it was a bad day. But now that was started, it started early in the morning. We heard them shooting and bombing. And, no, I don't think they've done any bombing. Maybe the ships were shooting in there. But next morning, we had to wait on the tide because we was in a ship, had to go in with the tide. We went in with the tide and landed on the beach, and we went down rope ladders, and they had all the beach cleaned up. It must have been the 7th or 8th because it sure wasn't the first thing.
But you went in before they had I think they called them the mulberries, the portable piers that they sunk in place there to make a harbor.
Yeah, some of them were still there. Of course, our equipment was all over the place, too, those boats they took them in on.
Were there still a lot of bodies and stuff?
No, buddy.
They got those out cool?
Buddy, they cleaned, that was all cleaned up. I mean, can you imagine? That was one of their priorities, I'm sure. Having engineers, whoever does it, picking those bodies up. Can you imagine following those people in that walk over their dead bodies? I mean,
you scared shitless, wouldn't you?
Oh, man.
Bad enough as it was. Not to switch subjects, but I'm just trying to fill in the gaps a little bit here. Tell me about that jailbreak that we were talking about a minute ago.
Oh. I had something else there on this.
Well, I mean, just if you've still got something on D-Day and France, that's fine too.
No, I told you about them trying to get through the hedgerows.
Right.
And anyway, that's back in the Marshal Service there. We always ride with a man, and we took a couple prisoners back to, we had to put them in county jails. Out in the county, in different counties, because Duval County Jail was too full to hold federal prisoners, and we had to drive, afford it, 20 to 25 miles to Baker County to put this man in. And we was putting him in, and we go in and we have to check our guns and put him in a box, which is good. And the jailer, I went in with the jailer, and my buddy stood outside. He, of course, his gun was locked up too. And we went inside, and the recreation room, this big room, then the cell door. He opened the cell door, and about a couple of them jumped out, and one jumped right on his back. Well, I carry a big slapjack, one of them big leaded ones, and I come up behind him and slapped him right in the back, and he fell back, and the rest two of them back then. They didn't figure it out, and they're just lucky. Of course, no, it wasn't lucky. I carried all. In fact, I believe I've got one right in here. I keep one at it. And one I got a little bigger, and I hit him right in the back. And he fell, and I walked over to him, and he said, no, I give up. And he just about had that old jailer down. And my buddy, time he'd run back trying to get people up there, we had it under control.
There are a couple of stories that I remember you telling me. One of them was years ago, and one of them was the last time we were down here or something. One was about a man that you kind of worked over up in Harlan County.
Oh, didn't I tell you? I told you that, didn't
he? And beating his
didn't I tell you
little
that?
Girl. Well, you told me that story one time, but not on tape. No, we don't have that on tape.
About taking him to Benham Hospital?
No, this was a story about some man up in Harlan County beating his daughter, about his 5 or 6 year old girl.
Oh, man.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that well. That little girl, she had welts on. She was the prettiest little thing. They said to come over, and I went over there that morning. They called a call from the sheriff's office. I went over there, and the old shack and the windows were open, and I went in and looked around, and there's an old pan on the stove that had old dried corn in it or a piece of old dried bread. And I started out and I seen something move. Now this old coffee sack's what it was, and I seen something move, and I thought, my God, there must be a rat in here or something. And I went over and got a stick and pulled it off, and I made a little girl. Oh, she was pitiful. She looked worse than any big rat. I mean, she was matted. And I picked her up, and she had, I don't know, 20 or 25, 30 or more. I didn't count them. Stitches. Not stitches, but little switch marks all over. Each one of them were bleeding. I knew the girls worked for the welfare department. I'd worked with some of them before. Well, I called them and blessed them out, and I mean, I got two of them over there right quick. They started scrubbing that place up. They took that to get to the doctor. And I started looking for her old daddy then. He's a sorry thing. He's drawing a real fry thing. In the meantime, I knew the priest there, or the preacher, and right out over in Letcher County, they have this Pine Mountain Settlement School, which is a great, great school. I called him and asked him if he could take this kid and told him the situation. They put her in school, they put her in over there. I was over there one day working. I said, can I see the little Blanton girl? He said, yeah. And she walked out there, it was the prettiest thing.
She's
a beautiful kid.
Did you ever catch up with the guy that did that to her?
I caught him one day. I was coming down the road, and I saw him walking down the road. He saw me, started running. I pulled my car, would run him down. He tried to fight me, and I didn't abuse him, but I arrested him.
I'll just leave you there.
I took, like Walker says, I took him down. And he knew he was took down. I mean, he knew he had it coming.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like Warren said, I took him down hard. I mean, not bragging. I wouldn't ordinarily do anything. I wasn't big enough to do much of that. I mean, but that kid, I still thought she was a beautiful kid. I asked him over. I said, don't ever let this man come get this kid. They said, well, if he's a parent, you know, we won't have much to do with it. I said, we have to get some kind of order. I don't know whatever happened to her. And I turned her and got up, and I come on to Florida. Yeah, I forgot about that. But I think I did do one or two good things.
Another story you told me one time, I don't know if you remember or not, but you'd had this black man that was in custody and you know, he just wouldn't speak and just grunt.
Oh, yeah, the kid from took up New York. Now, that's one time I got in a scare. I call around and the districts and find out what district doesn't have a caseload or a trial, a bunch of trials going, and that's the district. If you got some inspired men, they send you in and call, put you on a PC trip, that's prison control trip. Well, they start you off here in Duval with three prisoners, take over Lexington, Kentucky. Then Lexington, Kentucky will get you there, they'll send you back to Indiana to drop two off they've got. Then you get to Indiana, they'll give you, Washington's got it all, so they have four more, take you back on up to somewhere else. Then we got up in there, and I picked up this fella, and I wish I knew his name. He was the meanest little black fella I ever saw. And nasty mean. I couldn't do nothing. He'd kind of buck on his hand because he knew nothing satisfying. We stopped one day and got something to eat. No, I saw him bum a cigarette. I said, don't be bumming a cigarette. If you need cigarettes, I'll get you a cigarette. All right, he says, and I got one. I just throwed it at him. He's down there trying to pick it up. I treated him like he was doing me. Well, we stopped to eat. We were allowed, a dollar and a quarter a meal right there. And I think so what Kentucky Fried Chicken cost. We'd stop, and I fed them all Kentucky Fried Chicken. And a dollar and a quarter is what we got to feed. And I started to pull off. I said, anybody else hungry? I said, anybody left hungry? And that little black fellow, I am. I says, all right. I went back and got him another piece of chicken for, 35 cents or something. Handed it to him. Or I don't know, maybe a meal. Why don't I come here? I got him something more to eat. And nothing else was said. We drove and drove. Oh, my God, I was dreading New York. I never drove around town like that. And my buddy with me didn't know nothing about it. And we got up on our route we were taking into New York. We got in there, and I said, I have no idea how to get down to that jail. I said, now, I don't know who we going to how we. I heard this voice in the back said, Marshall, I'll take you. I looked back and said, what? That little black fellow said, I'll take you to jail, Marshall. I said, God, he's going to take us down there and get us bushwhacked. And I did. I mean, my life, my heart was my. We drove down, but you've seen it on the news, down there, old railroad tracks are running up, slummy looking place. We drove, I guess, 10 or 15 miles down through there, pulled up from the penitentiary or jail down there. Pulled up and pulled right in. I says, I can't believe this. I said, God, then I handcuffed him. And I told the guard, I said, I think I told him, this boy's pretty nice. He'd been treated pretty rough. I said, he brought us here. I never made it. And I said, what'd you do that for, bud? He said, I've never had a man treat me good like you.
Well, I think you told me this story once before, you also said you always tried to do something nice to the prisoners.
You better.
In case they ever got the drop on you.
You better. You better, bud.
If they got the drop on you, between life, life and death.
What's wrong with being a little extra nice to fellows sitting over there handcuffed? They go to the toilet, they have to stay handcuffed, they have a hard time. We don't unhandcuff them or take the legs off on them. They want to go to the toilet. We go in and check the toilet. And we stand there and march them in and march them out. I mean, why be mean or hateful to people like that? I don't give a damn how mean they are.
That might but save your life if they got the
right.
drop on you sometimes.
It works two ways. And I'm darn right. I've never had any trouble with anybody. Of course, I told you about Bernadine. She was scared of time or two.
Mm-hmm. I think you told me another story about you ran into some guy that you arrested years ago. And I don't know if it was a restaurant or a bar. Or
oh, yeah, I remember that one. We were at was in some kind of big meeting down there, a party or something down at the City Hall or some reason I was there. And this old fella go right up to me and in my face, and where was that? I remember now. Anyway, we were in a public meeting or something. He got up in my face, and I mean right nose to nose, says, you Hall, ain't you? I said, yeah, I'm Hall. He said, you remember me? I said, no, am I supposed to? He said, you took me to penitentiary. I said, I've taken a lot of people to penitentiary. He said, you took me, and I kind of butt him a little bit. He stepped back, and I said, well, have you learned anything? He said, oh, yes, sir, Mr. Hall, I'm getting along fine. I said, that's all it's all about. I mean, he was pushing this to see it. I don't know. He wanted to give me. I wasn't responsible for him going to penitentiary, but they feel this way. You take them, they think you're going to put them.
All right, yeah, okay.
That's about it. Yeah, and those V-2 rockets that killed nearly wiped England out. We going across France, and when we getting our hole or bed down at night, we could hear them things. They made a sputting noise, but when it stopped sputting, it falls straight down. We say, here comes bed check Charlie, keep sputting. Go to the English Channel, but give it another sput and get by us. We can't check them rockets. After we got down to Germany, naturally equipped, we blew Andrew Blasey's place.
they had to sort of cut Patton off a little bit because they were killing so many. I mean, in his drive to Germany in order to get those V-2 rocket launching sites, didn't he?
Huh?
Patton, when in his, you know, when he was driving toward
Germany. They were over by then.
Yeah.
Okay. They were stopped. They didn't knock. Okay. The Air Force done knocked them out. Yeah, it was a mad drive. Those Germans knew we were out of gas up there. Might have been a different story. Run completely out. We didn't have enough to turn the tanks around then. I don't know whether you've read about it or not, but it's a fact. I didn't try to read about it. That's just, I know we were scared to death. Now, you told me one time being frightened. We were worried that time because there we sat. All them tanks couldn't move. But the Lord took care of us, I guess, and the sun come out and they dropped all that stuff in there. And those Red Bulls were running hard as they could, trying to keep up, but he just completely outran them, outrun the lions. That's no question about it.
So when did, I realize this wasn't particularly your area of expertise, but when did the, they stop sending Shermans over and start getting the better tanks that they used?
When did what? Oh, I have no idea. Oh, okay. No, I have no, I don't know nothing about that. I guess when they realized what the Germans had and what compared to what they had, they got on a drawing board. We had our own thing to do there, and we saw them later, but I have no idea what, when or where, but I know when we first hit France, them little things was right up there, and they just blew them apart, or our machine got them, it was out.
Now, the Shermans were gasoline-powered, weren't they?
Huh?
Weren't the Shermans gasoline-powered, and the tanks were diesel?
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine they were diesel. Like I said, I didn't fool the tanks. My was back there more or less trying to get those keep those generators going, and they were just having like a big car engine in them. We had to pull them out, take them down, rewire them, and rebuild them. And
now those generators were gasoline.
Yeah.
Were they gasoline or diesel? The generators.
Uh huh.
Gasoline.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can you think of anything else you want to cover in here?
I don't know. I'll probably will after I get by here.
Well, we'll hold off and stop.
I picked up a few awards there in the Marshal Service over the period of years, you can see, for special achievement.
Can you tell us about the Bronze Stars? I mean, where you got those and what they were for and everything.
Well, I'll have to get that out of there. These were battle zones, actually. And you asked me if the whole Third Army got them. I doubt. I don't imagine they blanketed the whole Third Army. I don't know. But these were battle zones. Right behind them all the time, and we were in the zones. Now, I was thinking here a while back, if I sent off and got me a medal for each star I got, I'd have a bunch of medals to show my children. Here you go, 4 bronze stars. No, that's good contact. Northern France.
Okay.
The Ardennes.
Okay.
The Rhineland. That's where we crossed that bridge in Remagen. And Central Europe.
So you had 4 then. 4 battle combat zones.
Yeah.
Okay. 4 bronze stars.
Now, I'm sure they wasn't blanketed because we were right in the midst of it here all the time. We were, like I say, forward echelon.
You've still got all your papers there that you in the 281st Ordnance Maintenance Company. Okay. That's probably good to put in there for the historian.
Plate of Separation Cap, Atterbury, Indiana.
Well, that's also where you were inducted, wasn't it? At the same place? Honorable Discharge.
What is that?
K.
can't believe
it. Separation is said there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know of anything else per se.
Well, I think we did a pretty good job covering most everything I can think of. And of course,
here's
I'm sure I'll think of some once I get back to
discharge. We were passing the automotive section.
So you went right back to Harlan and
opened
up your service station.
Worst mistake I ever made going back home. Why, I don't know if why. I'm, of course, still only 19. And I may have had a turn 20 or not at 19 or close to it. Would have come home, you know, that is.
Well, I, you know, judging from my own life, boys don't start having sense until about, they're about 23 or 24.
That's right.
But it still takes a little while.
And I thought I'd make a lot of money if I went in business. I worked for other people so long, and the man has my downfall.
Well,
especially,
know,
up there in the coal mines. You never know when they're going to strike or when they're going to shut down or nothing.
It's hard to make a lot of money in a place where people don't have any money, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they had money there in Harlan there when they were working. I mean, those miners were driving brand new automobiles, but they were making big money, and they were good. Mm-hmm. According to their mines, man, they couldn't pay me enough. They couldn't give me all the. They couldn't give me the whole GM factory for.
It's like those guys. They're paying those guys, civilian police guys, to go over to teach the Iraqi police force how to, you know. Phyllis was telling me earlier about this guy she knows. It was a retired policeman here in Jacksonville, and he's going over to Iraq to work to train the police force over there.
Yeah.
Making $13,000 a month over there.
Ooh. Well, they can have.
That wouldn't tempt me.
No. It ain't worth it. Some things, money ain't worth everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably think of a lot of stuff I can tell you, but I don't know of anything else right now.
Okay, well, let's just call it.